Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling a really pivotal moment in aviation law.
We certainly are.
It's the aftermath of the 1979 Chicago air crash, American Airlines Flight 191.
A truly tragic event. Still one of the deadliest crashes in U.S. history.
Absolutely. And for you listening, it's just a fascinating insight into how our legal system handles these huge tragedies, especially when they cross state lines. We're talking corporate accountability here.
Right.
So our mission, our deep dive today, is really to unpack the complex choice of law issues that just exploded out of this case. We're going to focus particularly on punitive damages.
Yeah, that's the core conflict.
Because you've got this disaster, right? It touches so many different states, and each state has its own way of thinking about law, about punishment. So the question becomes, whose laws win out? And I guess, why does that even matter for understanding corporate liability?
Exactly. That's what makes it so compelling. You have this like intricate web of connections. The crash itself, Illinois. But American Airlines, their headquarters were in New York then. Maintenance, Oklahoma.
Wow. Okay.
And then there's McDonnell Douglas, the manufacturer. Their main base was Missouri, but the actual design, the building of the plane, that was California.
So it's everywhere.
Pretty much. And when things go so terribly wrong and you get lawsuits popping up in all these different states, each with its own rules on, you know, punishing companies, figuring out which law applies is just, well, critical.
It sounds like a perfect storm for legal complexity, a really useful case study for anyone listening.
Couldn't agree more.
Now, to help us navigate this this legal maze we've looked at quite a bit, we've got the actual court documents, legal analysis from experts, and even some, let's say, insider chat about how this case is still discussed in legal circles. We want to give you that full picture.
A multifaceted view.
Okay, so let's set the scene properly. Take us back. May 1979, Chicago.
Right. May 25th, 1979. You have to picture, it seems like a normal sunny day at O'Hare.
Yeah.
Huge, busy airport. American Airlines Flight 191, it's a DC-10, gets clearance for takeoff. But just, I mean, moments after lifting off, disaster.
Yeah.
The plane crashes just past the runway. The result is just devastating. All 271 people on board, passengers and crew, lost their lives. Plus, two people on the ground.
273 fatalities. It's almost unimaginable.
It truly is. And that scale, that immense loss, inevitably set the stage for, well, major legal battles.
You would expect nothing less. So in the legal drama that followed, who were the main players?
Well, primarily, you've got American Airlines. They were operating the flight, like I said, headquartered in New York back then.
Right.
But significant maintenance happening down in Oklahoma.
Sorry, American.
And then the other major player, McDonnell Douglas Corporation, MDC, they designed and built the DC-10.
The manufacturer?
Right. Their main business address was in Missouri, but crucially the design work, the manufacturing itself, that was centered in California.
So right there you can see the geographic spread. Illinois for the crash, New York and Oklahoma for the airline, and Missouri and California tied to the manufacturer. This is why it gets complicated, right? For you listening, that multi-state element is really the key here.
You hit the nail on the head. That's the crux of the choice of law problem.
So what happened immediately after the crash, legally speaking?
Well, a flood of lawsuits. Totally understandable. In the end, 118 separate wrongful death actions were filed.
118? Wow. And were they all filed in Illinois?
Oh, no. That would have been too simple. They were spread out across six different jurisdictions. Illinois, of course, but also California, New York, Michigan, Hawaii, even Puerto Rico.
Good grief. That sounds like chaos for the courts. How do you even manage that?
Yeah, it could easily become a procedural nightmare. But there's a mechanism for this exact situation. It's called multi-district litigation, or MDL.
MDL.
Essentially, to avoid, you know, duplication of effort, conflicting rulings before trial, all that stuff. All 118 cases were consolidated. They were brought together for pretrial proceedings in federal court in Illinois, the Northern District.
Ah, so it centralizes the early stages. Discovery, motions.
Exactly. It's a common sense efficiency move. Doesn't mean the trials themselves would all happen there necessarily, but it streamlines everything leading up to that point.
Okay, that makes sense. So the cases are gathered in Illinois for pretrial. Now, let's really dive into the heart of the legal fight. What was the core disagreement?
It all boiled down to one major issue, punitive damages.
Punitive damages. Okay, maybe we should quickly clarify that for listeners.
Good idea. So you have compensatory damages, right? That's money to cover the actual losses, lost wages the person would have earned, medical bills if there were any, the family suffering, trying to make the victim's families whole, financially speaking.
Right. Compensating for the harm done.
Punitive damages are different. They're not about compensation. They are intended to punish the defendant, the company, in this case, for really bad conduct, like reckless disregard for safety.
And to deter others from doing the same thing.
Exactly. Deterrence is a huge part of it. It's a penalty, basically, meant to send a message.
Okay, got it. So the fight was over whether these punitive damages could even be sought, and I guess the different states involved had different rules on this.
Precisely. And this is where you really get into the weeds of conflict of laws.
Yeah.
Illinois law, where the crash happened, was very clear at the time. No punitive damages allowed in wrongful death cases, period.
Okay, so Illinois says no.
But Missouri, where McDonnell Douglas had its main base, they did allow punitive damages in these kinds of cases. So did Texas, another state with connections.
Ah, okay. So a direct conflict there.
A direct conflict.
Yeah.
And California's law was also relevant given the design and manufacturing happened there.
Yeah.
And interestingly, New York, where American Airlines was based, they were like, Illinois, no punitive damages in wrongful death suits.
So it's a real mix. Illinois and New York say no. Missouri and Texas say yes. California is in the picture. For you listening, this creates that critical question. With all these conflicting state laws and all these connections, which state's rule applies? Whose law decides if the families can even ask for punitive damages against MDC and American?
It really was, as you said, a legal puzzle. A high stakes one.
So how did the court approach solving it? What legal principle did they use?
They turned to a core concept in this area of law, something called the most significant relationship test.
The most significant relationship test. Okay, that sounds like the key right there. Break that down for us.
Sure. It's basically a way for courts to figure out which state's law should apply when a case, like this one, touches multiple states. It's not just like counting connections. It's about weighing different factors to see which state has the strongest, the most meaningful connection to the specific issue being decided.
So in this case, the issue was punitive damages.
Exactly. Which state's interest in allowing or prohibiting punitive damages was most significant here? And this test, it largely comes from a very influential legal guide called the Restatement, second, of conflict of laws.
The Restatement, right. Not binding law itself, but courts look to it heavily.
Very heavily. It provides a framework for this kind of analysis.
So using that framework, what specific things did the court actually look at? What factors did they weigh to find the most significant relationship?
They looked at several key things. Number one, obviously, the location of the crash itself, Illinois. That's huge.
Can't ignore that.
Then they looked at where the defendant's alleged misconduct occurred. So for McDonnell Douglas, that meant design in California, their main business in Missouri.
Right.
For American, their New York headquarters at the time, and the maintenance facility in Oklahoma.
Okay, so the conduct locations. What else?
They also considered where the parties were domiciled, you know, where they officially resided or were based. Although, in a mass disaster like this with victims from all over, the plaintiff's domiciles become less of a single determining factor. The location of the injury often takes on more weight.
Right, because that's the focal point of the harm. So after weighing all of that, the crash site, the conduct, the basis of operation, what did the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals decide? Which state won out?
They concluded that Illinois had the most significant relationship to the issue of punitive damages in this specific disaster.
Illinois. Even though some of the alleged negligence, like design or maintenance, happened elsewhere.
Yes.
What was their reasoning for prioritizing Illinois?
Well, the court really focused on Illinois' powerful interest in, well, ensuring air safety within its own borders.
Makes sense, given O'Hare's there and the crash happened there.
Absolutely. They saw Illinois as having a paramount interest in regulating conduct that affects safety within the state. And there was another key element, predictability.
Predictability.
Yeah, the court emphasized the need for some predictability in the law for corporations operating in Illinois. Applying Illinois law, which barred punitive damages then, offered that kind of certainty for businesses. They knew, or could reasonably expect, what the rules were regarding liability for incidents within Illinois.
So basically, Illinois' interest in safety within its borders, plus providing a predictable legal environment, outweighed the policies of Missouri or Texas that allowed punitive damages.
That's a good summary of their core rationale. They felt those Illinois interests were the most compelling in this specific context.
Did the court have a particular way of phrasing that? A key quote, maybe?
They essentially said Illinois' interests in promoting air safety and providing that legal predictability were paramount here, more significant than the punitive policies of the other connected states. Illinois was ground zero for the tragedy and had the primary responsibility for safety there.
Okay. But I can imagine listeners wondering, why give so much weight to where the injury happened rather than where the potentially faulty action happened, like the design in California or maintenance in Oklahoma?
That's a really sharp question, and it gets to the heart of a common issue in these conflict of laws cases. The court explained that when you have what's called a true conflict, where multiple states have legitimate competing interests and no single state's interest just clearly dominates.
Which sounds like what we had here.
Exactly. In those situations, the law often defaults to the place where the injury occurred, the lex loci delicti, as lawyers sometimes call it.
And why is that the default?
There are a couple of main reasons. One is basic fairness. The state where the harm was directly felt has a strong claim to apply its laws. The other reason is practical. It helps prevent forum shopping.
Ah, forum shopping. Meaning plaintiffs just picking the state with the best laws for their case, even if the connection is weaker.
Precisely. You don't want plaintiffs strategically suing in, say, Missouri, just because Missouri allows punitive damages if the real center of the event was Illinois. Applying the law of the place of injury provides a more neutral, predictable anchor.
Okay, that clears that up. It adds a layer of predictability, even amidst conflicting laws. Now, you mentioned this case had an interesting nuance, a concurring opinion.
Yes, from Judge Cuddy.
Yeah.
He agreed with the final decision, apply Illinois law, no punitive damages. But he wrote separately to add a really important point of caution.
What was his concern?
He basically warned against making an automatic leap. Just because a state has a strong interest in a disaster that happens within its borders, like Illinois did here, doesn't automatically mean that state wants to impose punitive damages on out-of-state companies based on conduct that happened elsewhere.
Okay. So he's saying Illinois' interest in the crash itself doesn't necessarily equal an interest in punishing McDonnell Douglas using, say, Missouri's punitive damage standards.
Exactly that. Judge Cudahy stressed that a state's primary goal might be protecting its own citizens, regulating its own territory, ensuring compensation perhaps, but extending its reach to punish a Missouri company for actions in California just because the tragic result landed in Illinois. Well, he suggested that might be stretching Illinois' actual policy aims too far.
That really highlights a fundamental tension, doesn't it?
It absolutely does.
It's the tension between using punitive damages as this big stick for deterrence, wherever the company is based, versus respecting that each state gets to make its own policy choices about punishment and corporate behavior within our federal system.
You've nailed it. It's a constant balancing act in multi-state litigation. How far does one state's interest reach when corporate conduct and consequences cross borders?
A really fascinating point. Okay, let's step back a bit. Thinking about the law students listening to this deep dive, what are the big takeaways? Why is this 1979 case still so important?
Well, first off, it's just a textbook example, really, of how crucial these choice of law rules are, especially the most significant relationship test.
It's not just theory. It has huge real-world consequences.
Huge. It determines who can sue for what money might be available, even where the fight takes place. And it shows how courts grapple with applying that test in incredibly complex, tragic circumstances.
And you mentioned another legal concept earlier, de package. Does that come into play here?
It does, although it wasn't the main focus on the punitive damages issue. De package is this idea that within a single lawsuit, different issues might actually be governed by the laws of different states.
Whoa. Okay. So like maybe Illinois law applies to punitive damages, but California law applies to some aspect of liability related to the design?
Potentially, yes. The court would, in theory, apply the most significant relationship test separately to each distinct legal issue liability, compensatory damages, punitive damages. It's like slicing the case into different pieces, and each piece might follow the law of the state most significantly connected to that specific piece.
That adds yet another layer of complexity. It really makes you wonder about the bigger picture. Did this case and others like it fuel any debate about maybe needing federal rules for things like aviation disasters?
Yeah, it's a very sharp point, and yes, absolutely. The discussion around this case often brings up the argument for federal liability standards in aviation.
Why is that?
Well, just think about it from the industry's perspective. Airlines, manufacturers, they operate nationally, internationally. Having to navigate potentially 50 different state laws on something as critical as punitive damages creates enormous uncertainty.
Yeah, I can see that. Insurance, risk assessment, it must be a nightmare.
Exactly. So there's a strong policy argument made, particularly in industries like aviation that are inherently interstate, for having a single uniform set of federal rules governing liability. It simplifies things and provides consistency.
So for our listeners, a really concise takeaway might be, in these multi-state tort cases, especially in transportation, where the injury happens often ends up being a really decisive factor in figuring out which state's law controls key issues like punitive damages.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. The INRI air crash disaster case is just such a powerful illustration of that principle. It shows that complex interplay of facts, legal tests like the most significant relationship test, and the different policy choices states make.
It really does. And it leaves you thinking, doesn't it, about that balance between deterring corporate negligence, which punitive damages aim to do, and ensuring a legal system that's fair and predictable for businesses operating across state lines. You know, does our current system, this patchwork of state laws, really work for massive national industries? Or do we need something more unified?
It's the million-dollar question, isn't it? There's no easy answer, but it's central to ongoing debates about corporate accountability and how our legal system adapts to a national and global economy.
Definitely something to keep pondering, especially as you look at future large-scale cases. Well, thanks for unpacking all of that with us today.
My pleasure. It's a complex but incredibly important case to understand.
Indeed. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.